The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And when you're in forward-facing ministry, it's even harder to show up and tell the world, like, hey, my faith is failing me. Right. I'm the faith girl.
Yes.
And yet,
exactly.
I am doubting.
Alexandra Hoover helps us define our faith as enduring, resilient, and courageous.
The reason that I have this testimony, the reason that I know God is good, is because I've seen and felt the way that He's pulled me out of the rubble. When I've seen myself lost in my pain and in my suffering, God's been like, hey, eyes on me.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to Life Today. Today's going to be great. We have with us Alexandra Hoover, and she has a brand new Bible study out titled Without Wavering, Resilient Faith Built on the Promises of God.
Woo.
And I want to read something.
Yeah.
I want to read something about Alexandra, a word from the author, and I'm gonna have to put on my glasses, girl.
Okay.
Because it makes me smarter, and it makes me sound better. Do you see it?
Do you
see it?
Oh, my gosh.
I love this, a word from the author, right up at the top. When the storms of life, and there are many, knock you down, and you look up from the ground to find yourself in a world of disarray, perhaps the words, I just can't keep doing this, rise up in you. What happens when the prayers go unanswered? When your soul is so worn that the thought of getting back into the deep blue sea of life feels impossible. You know, it's only a matter of time before those waves crash again. What holds you up when everything else has let you down? The only sustaining answer is this. You hold on to the faith and the hope you have in Jesus. Girl, I love that so much.
Thank you.
It tells me so much about you and your heart. And
thank
the way you.
You
think about Jesus
thank
in
you.
Those moments in your life. And I think I want to dig into that a little bit, but I want to start by like going back and getting to know you a little bit better. So I love how you actually admit to the fact that, you know, for a long time you didn't have such a tidy faith that you thought. Like it looked different than everybody else's. So tell me, how did it look different and why didn't you think it was so tidy?
Yeah, I actually love to talk to people about this because in the world that we live in, I think faith just feels like a hard thing to tackle.
Yes.
And we try to show up with like a really tidy faith. And what I mean by that is this, I'm fine. I've got it all together. Yes, I trust God. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I'm following Jesus. And yet when the storms of life come, we are left in total disarray, and then we're like, wait, where's my faith?
Right.
Where did
because
it go?
Right now, I don't believe in Jesus.
Absolutely.
I don't believe he showed up. I don't believe in any of this. My faith has been shaken. I feel abandoned. Now I'm mad, so now I don't.
Yeah.
It's easy to have faith, I think, when everything's going great in our lives.
Absolutely.
But what
is.
Happens when it all crumbles? So let me ask you this. I love that you say
Thank you.
Faith is made up of the things that we've been through or are walking through unless we define it correctly.
Woo!
So then let's start up at the top by defining what faith is.
Yeah.
What is faith?
I actually want to read this from the actual study. It's on page 21 and it says the Greek noun, which is pistis, which is faith, and it's related to the verb pisteuo, and it's I have faith, trust and believe. In the New Testament, it's used a number of ways, but primarily with the meaning to trust or have confidence in God. And so faith is actually not something that we have, it's something that we do.
Ooh.
It's something that we walk out. Faith is already established in God. And so the actual definition of faith, scripture doesn't give us an actual definition, but it does invite us in to see what it looks like. And it looks like believing in God because God just is. And so you can't like do faith. You can't have a faith that is only made up in places that are easy. You've got to walk it out.
So you have to, okay. You have to walk it out.
Yeah.
It's not just something I have faith. Now,
you can't will yourself to faith.
That's it.
You
can't. And the thing, here's another thought.
Yeah.
Have we all been given a measure of faith, right? The Bible says we've all been given a measure of faith.
Sure.
So we all have faith, but then we look at other people and go, well, man, that's going great in their life and they were able to handle that situation better than I. So is their faith better? Is it better than mine? So if we have a level playing field here, we've all been given a measure of faith. So do we have to then grow in that faith or do we just sit back and go, I have faith and that's enough?
I love that you asked that question. So I want to just debunk something for a second, right? So I think that when we hear the word faith, we automatically think that it's the ability to get through something within in ourselves. Like it's something that's going to get us through something. And so I just want to just, like you said, kind of clean the playing field out some. Faith is believing in the God that can get us through something. And so it's not about willing more faith. It's not about doing more for faith. And so although all of us have been given a measure of faith, right? Like you have a faith and I have a faith. Mm-hmm. It's not really ours. It's the faith in God. And so when we believe God, he exercises that muscle. And yes, our faith increases, but it's by his strength and not our own. And so I want to speak to the people who are watching who feel like they're, no matter what they do, their faith isn't rising up. I would say to them, surrender the thought that having faith means you are doing more. Having faith is believing in the God that already has done enough for us, right?
Right.
And so it's really, it's dismantling this idea that faith has something to do with ourselves. It doesn't. Faith has everything to do with God and believing in God. And the way that he does that is by taking us through really difficult seasons and allowing tough circumstances to happen. And I think that's where the tension comes up for our friends and for me.
Yes, for me too, for me too.
Yeah, when we're in the midst of a storm and we're left wondering, God, how did I get here? God really wants to walk you through the storm. And here's another layer to this that I love. When people are struggling with their faith, they're really struggling with the sovereignty of God. They're really struggling with the character of God.
Yes.
Right? And so
why would God
that,
allow this to happen if he's a good God?
That's right.
How do you address that with people?
One of my favorite questions, because tongue in cheek, I say that I have the gift of unbelief.
Yes, I know.
But truly, God has gifted me this seasons in my life where, y'all, I've been in the valley with God. Mm. I've walked through years of suffering, and I've had to reconcile with God the things that feel unreconcilable, truly. And so I have learned God's character most in the rubble of my life. And my faith is what it is today because I've wrestled with God in the seasons of my life that just have not made sense. And so for me, as I'm looking at seasons of suffering, this is what I would answer. And this is what I would say to my friends if they're like, Alex, where is God? Mm. I would say this. This is how I explain it to my daughter who's 11. God does not cause discomfort. He brings comfort in it. And so when we're in the midst of a world that's broken and sinful, he's not going to cause discomfort, but he will comfort us in it.
Yes.
He's going to allow for us to walk through things, but he didn't cause it to happen to you. What he's doing is he's comforting you in the midst of it. That's one of the most digestible, easiest ways to understand God's heartbeat for us in the midst of suffering. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Mm. He's with us in it.
Man, I love that. Honestly, I can relate to it. Mm-hmm. Alexandra, because I remember standing on the edge of the water for me when everything shifted and it changed and my life changed in that moment. And I remember wrestling also with the thought of how this could be allowed to happen in my life, losing the love of my life.
Yes.
And yet there was something that sustained me in that moment that I knew that one, God didn't do this to me.
Yeah.
He's a God of wholeness.
Yes.
He's a God that wants to bring increase.
That's
he doesn't take things from our lives to leave us without.
Come on.
So I did not believe for one moment, but it was like the mystery of the hand of God. How do I lean on my faith? How can I build this faith that's so resilient no matter what happens, if another rug is pulled from underneath me, that I will be able to stand strong on the promises of God. So let's talk about the promises of God.
Yeah.
So we talked about this earlier, you know, and so many of us talk about the promises of God and we kind of leave it at that.
Yeah.
Lean on the promises of God, know the promises of God, but we don't really, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I love about a Bible study, a great Bible study, is it makes us get involved.
Absolutely.
It makes me dig in. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you teach us about that me to find what the promises of God. Tell me a couple that you think are really good ones to hang on to every day.
You know, I think session 5 of the study talks about them. Here are just a few, and I want to be able to leave room for you to look them up yourself. But two of them being that one of the promises of God is that God will comfort us in the midst of our pain.
Yes.
Right? Another one is that God is going to finish what he started.
Yes.
And for me, when I'm thinking about these promises, or even when I'm thinking about the one that he gave to Abraham, right? In Genesis 11, Genesis 12, the overarching promise that he's going to rescue his family through Christ Jesus, those are ours. And when I think about the promises of God, I think about God's character that informs the promises of God.
Yeah.
Right? His righteousness, his holiness, the promises of God actually speak to who he is. And yeah. they're what sustain us. They're the reality and the truth that when life isn't going the way we planned, yep. God still is.
That's right.
And so the promises define the character of God. And here's what I think is really important, too. I think when we hear promises of God, we think about maybe material things. Mm. That he's going to come through in the physical. But really, this is more about the spiritual element yes. of what God's going to provide for us. Yes, God can bless us in the physical, and we love it, and we are so grateful. And yet, what he's promising is comfort, shepherding, depth, and increase in our faith. He's promising us long-suffering love with him. That, for me, has been life-changing and transformational because my faith then goes from going somewhere to becoming like someone, and that's Jesus.
I love that. So does suffering and faith coexist?
Absolutely. So I wrote a book called Eyes Up, and it was sort of this beginning theme of my life of the coexistence of pain and suffering. And I coined this term, and it's the presence of pain does not mean the absence of God. And I've had to wrestle with that, friend. I've had to.
Yes.
I've had to come to the reality that our faith is made up of the intersection of pain and of hope. And that without pain and suffering, we can't know the hope that we need, right? Mm. Like, we can't know how much we need God.
Goodness, yes.
If we don't understand what we're being saved from.
Yes.
And so there's this beautiful reality in God's cosmos of the world where he's like, hey, it's going to be hard. You're going to experience suffering, but I'm also going to teach you about love because I want you to know what it feels like to be saved from something. And that's who I am to you. And so coexistence, absolutely. And I think that's actually one of the lies the enemy tries to use. See, if the enemy can get us to believe, right, that faith or believing in God won't have its suffering or moments of pain, then when we do experience them, we'll look up and say, God, why?
Exactly.
Why did you do this?
Exactly.
But we know the truth.
Yes.
We know that God is a God of promises. And
yes.
so he didn't cause the pain, but he will comfort us in it.
Girl, that is such a good practical yeah. explanation
Thank
even
you.
Of faith to me, because you're right. I think the world says, why believe?
Yeah.
Why have faith right now?
Yes.
Why have faith in a God that's not going to fix it for you?
Right.
That's going to abandon you. That's going to bring pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some people have been jumping to faith thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to fix everything
that's
right. now. I'm not going to struggle. I'm not going to hurt. There isn't going to be pain. But I think that you have got to know, as
yeah.
you say, the character of God.
Yeah.
You've got to know the heart of Jesus.
Right.
You've got to know the promises
yeah.
so that when it comes against you, I don't think it's a matter of, it's not a matter of when, or it's not a matter of if.
Sure.
It's going to happen in your life.
Absolutely.
It's a matter of when.
Come on.
And so if you are not prepared, if your feet are not grounded in the things of God,
yes.
kingdom-minded principles
That's
of
right.
God and the promises and what he has
That's
to
right.
say,
That's right.
then we'll listen to the world mm. and we'll fall into a trap of living without and less than,
mm-hmm.
less than what he has for us.
Yes.
It's unbelievable that we are so willing to, I think, give up on our faith.
Absolutely.
Why? Why?
God's been dealing with me on this particular subject because it's a never-ending process with God, right? We're on a journey of
yeah.
growing our faith, and that's just the truth. So for our friends who are watching, we're in sanctification. We're in process. Every single day, our faith is being built up. And so this is what God said to me just last week. There's going to come a time in our lives where our feelings are going to have to follow our faith.
Yeah.
Our feelings are going to have to follow our faith, and we're going to have to make our feelings follow our faith because we're not going to want to believe. We're going to want to believe the world. We're going to want to believe that anything and everything else can be what God can only be in our lives.
Okay.
And the,
yeah.
the truth is we're going to, resolving in ourselves, God is Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning and the end. Jesus did die for me, and he resurrected so I could have abundant life here right now. When you begin to speak the truth over your mind, your mind and your heart have no choice but to reorient themselves and realign themselves to the scriptures and remember, oh, you're right. I believe in the God of ages. I'm okay.
Tell me this.
Yeah.
Personal question.
Yeah.
With everything that we're speaking about today and sharing, you are such a light. You are such a champion for all things faith right now
yeah.
in this moment. But have you ever gone through a season of absolute struggle where your faith has been shaken as well to get to a place of
yeah.
today going, this is why you got to have it and why it's important?
Oh my gosh. Again, I was actually just talking to some friends last week. I'm like, I would really love the ministry of talking about food. And
I'm with you. I'll be there. I'll show up.
I would really love the ministry of talking about gardening and flowers, and maybe God will get me there. But for now, it's the ministry of faith, and it's the message of believing God to be God in our lives. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just to hit on it a little bit, I didn't grow up in a home that knew God. And so from the very beginning of my life, I stepped into this reality of the world, kind of just left looking around like, what am I here for? Like, really? What's this all about? Is it just all about pain and suffering? Is there any hope? This seems really dark. Just last year, I lost my brother pretty unexpectedly, and him and I weren't too close. We were half siblings, and yet we did have this relationship that we tried to work out, and it didn't make the loss any easier. In the midst of that, I was going through just really difficult seasons with a local church ministry, and it was just a tough season. It was hard. And when you're in forward-facing ministry, it's even harder to show up and tell the world, like, hey, my faith is failing me. Right. I'm the faith girl.
Yes.
And yet,
exactly.
I am doubting and I am wrestling. And so, absolutely, I am so secure in telling my friends and telling you the reason that I have this testimony, the reason that I know God is good, is because I've seen and felt the way that He's pulled me out of the rubble. When I've seen myself lost in my pain and in my suffering, God's been like, hey, eyes on me. And it comes from a place of knowing God. See, we have to allow ourselves to get to the place of ending, and He will then begin something new, right? The end of ourselves is the beginning of something new with God.
Amen.
And I'm really good at getting to the end of myself now. I'm really good at that. I am.
Oh, I love that. I think it's a daily thing.
It is.
Don't you think? Because I think there's stuff and there's life that's happening around us every single day.
Yeah.
So I think you have to just wake up and put that faith hat on and say, like, I'm ready, God. I'm ready because I think even in your struggle, like, I've had my own struggles too. And I don't think I conquer something and then I'm over this and let's, you know, I am in the moment, maybe even in the season, but there's always something that comes up. There's always something we need healing from.
Yeah.
There's something we need to draw into faith and lean in more. Always something.
Absolutely. Eternal perspective, right? So there's something about God in the scriptures continuously reminding you and I to keep our eyes on the eternal, not in the temporary. Because if we begin to worship the temporary, we lose sight of the eternal, and having eternal vision on God, in His promises, in His character, on His faithfulness is what's gonna get us, not just through, because I don't wanna just get through days.
Yes,
I want to live fully awake in my face, right? Like there's also this like undercurrent of defeat that we walk around with. Like our faith doesn't have to be based or settled or anchored in defeat. It's actually victory.
Amen.
Like the faith we have should spur us on to live lives of victory because of Christ. I get to live this life. And a lot of my conviction too is, do we really believe that Jesus loves us? Because if we believe that Jesus loves us, now lock in, friends, this is so important. The love of God is what grounds us in our faith. We can't believe in a God if we don't believe that the God that we're trying to believe in loves us.
Yes.
Right? Our faith will fail because we'll wonder, am I really loved? And when we know that we're loved by God, we'll begin to live like we're loved by God.
Yes.
And our faith will follow.
Yes. It's like, I don't think a lot works in my life.
Absolutely.
If I didn't believe that I was wonderfully made, that God had great purpose and intention for my life, that He loves me, that He wants good things for me, that He's not taking from my life, that He's bringing increase into my life, increase. He wants more.
Absolutely.
He wants me to live a full, abundant life. There's so much He has for us. And so many times I think our pain, the struggle, the doubt, the faithlessness, it keeps us down. And that's exactly where the enemy wants to keep you.
He loves it.
Because then you're not flourishing.
That's right.
You're not without. You're, you think you're without, but you're not.
You're not without.
I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for this Bible study,
girl.
I'm grateful for your life, the words you speak. There are so many people in the world right now that also need words of life, that need help in their life.
Yes.
And I want you to take a second, and I want you to watch this with us.
Yeah.
And I want to show you something really special, and I want to tell you how you can be a part of this with us. Watch this.
These orange bowls full of vitamin-enriched soup are dished up daily to thousands of children in the school feeding program. This is why we can say Mission Feeding saves lives. And because of Mission Feeding, we're saving lives in other ways. In areas hit by natural disasters, our mission partners are answering the call with emergency food distribution efforts. Mission Feeding also provides malnutrition clinics, therapeutic milk for children who cannot tolerate solid food. And we distribute boxes of food packs to clinics so mothers can feed their children as they struggle to survive the ravages of malnutrition. Maria de Fatima is a mother who benefited from Mission Feeding. Maria took her son Zaysha, who was suffering from malnutrition, to a rural clinic near her village where he was given food. As Maria shared her story with John Yates, Zaysha decided he would come in and join the activity.
So he just came in from playing. And the fact is, this little boy was severely sick just a few months ago. And he's able to play today because Maria can receive food rations from the malnutrition clinic.
But the reality for mothers in countries like Angola is the mortality rate among children under 5 is the highest in sub-Saharan Africa. And a major contributing factor for their deaths is malnutrition. Children like Zaysha can only be saved if we continue Mission Feeding.
And so I'm asking you, would you help us? Would you help us continue to help Maria? And would you help us help other mothers just like Maria?
And God bless you for making a long journey here and come to my humble house.
She's so, so sweet. And I love stories like this so much. Zaysha's life was on the brink of despair, but through Mission Feeding, he was given a chance to thrive. And today, he's a living testament to the difference that we can make together in the lives of one child at a time. At Life Today, our purpose, it's clear: to go where the need is, one life at a time, one village at a time. It's an honor and a calling for all of us here to be a blessing to those in need, just like Zaysha. But we can't do this alone. We need your help today, because there are countless others who need us right now. Today is a new day, and it brings with it a life that needs to be saved. The beautiful thing is, we're feeding 350,000 children every single day, but we want to do more. We have to do more, because there's so many others that are waiting. They're standing in that line with that bowl right now, waiting for that bowl to be filled up, to receive sometimes their only meal of the day. So we have to get to them right now before it's too late, before they have to get to a place of going to a clinic where they have to fight even harder to live. So again, I'm asking if you would help us reach even more mothers just like Maria and to bring relief to so many families just like hers through Mission Feeding. Your gift, no matter how small, can make an enormous, enormous difference. You have to know that. So help us meet our goal of 350,000 children this year. It breaks down this way, so anybody can help. $30 will feed 3 children for 3 full months. $50 will feed 5. $100 will feed 10. And for those who can do more, well, $1,000 will help feed 100 children for 3 full months. You can make a difference today. So go online and call and make the best gift that you can. So let's work together to make every day a new opportunity to save lives. Together, we can continue to provide hope, to provide nourishment, and the chance at a better future for those that are in need right now.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the brand new Life Planner. Bound in soft touch leather, this planner will help you with your daily walk, with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the God's Promise Serving Bowl. This beautiful and versatile ceramic bowl is decorated with 2 Corinthians 9:8 and will make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So you can see how you can be an amazing blessing today. And listen, for any gift that you're able to give to the ministry to help us feed children, we want to send you Alexandra's book, Without Wavering. It's so good. It's an incredible Bible study. There's also video access that's included for those that need a little extra, which is what I need. So give us the last word.
Yeah, I just want to talk to the friends who are watching today whose faith may be failing. Maybe you are in a season where you just can't seem to get yourself back up. I just want to encourage you for just a few seconds. God is with you. It's not happenstance that you're watching today's show. And I just want to remind you that the promises of God are for you, that your faith is not failing you, that you're probably just tired. And so you're going to get back up today in the name of Jesus with renewed faith after watching this. And you're going to go after everything God's called you to go to. Amen. Amen.
Amen. What an encouragement you are
Thank
to
you.
Me, and I know to so many other people. This has been so good today, especially on how to run the race of life with a faith that is built on the promises of God, a faith that can stand when everything else is crumbling around us, a faith that we can learn to live out in confidence every day as we walk in His assurance to lead us to our final destination without wavering because of who He is and who we are in Him, a faithful, faithful God. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Are you concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today.
For those of you who think your kids are lost, and you think, Lord, I don't even know where they are, God is on the move.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.